Well, we're going to our Wāti News Facebook page now. So, whānau, if you have any questions or any whakaaro, kōrero, then please do whakapā mai. We're talking to our good friend, Mihi Blair, pro care. Me tuku mihi kia koe, Mihi. Thanks so very much for joining us this afternoon on Irirangi Wāti. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Claudette. Thank you so much.
Well, Sunday the 28th, that's when the legislation, smoke-free cars, that's when it kicks in. It would be fair to say that there's been a long lead up to this, so people are aware that it is coming. I'm just wondering, from your perspective in healthcare and, you know, working with our whānau in the community, has there been enough support for our whānau to either give up altogether, knowing that this legislation was coming along, or giving them some tools or resources to get them to be smoke-free while driving?
Aye, and you know, with this journey has been a very long journey to get to this legislation. It's been since the Smoke-Free Amendments Act and the Māori Health Select Committee made the suggestion with Dame Tariana, who made these sorts of recommendations. So we actually need to acknowledge them for their mana that they and their whakaaro and their leadership in this process. In terms of where we're at with the smoke-free cars and the support systems, there are many, many stop smoking services available across Aotearoa. It is all about the being available. There's quit line services about being available, but we consider it's beyond that. This is an addiction. It's an addiction that's readily available within the communities. Tobacco is available in all communities. So stop smoking services are only one part of the solution to help that we have always been around. It's just when people are ready to become smoke-free, they know where to come to us. In terms of the campaign, leading up, we've always promoted having a smoke-free whānau. So this is just an and approach, and campaign that we fully support.
I'm just wondering whether or not, because you've highlighted that it is an addiction as opposed to a, you know, pastime or a lifestyle that, you know, really is of no relevance to us in this day and age. So if it is an addiction then, and there are a lot of programs that are available, then in your opinion, are these programs working, considering that we still have a high incidence of wahine Māori who are still smoking? And I've just finished speaking with Deborah Jensen from Te Heringa Hauora, talking to her about Queenie. And, you know, and she also said this is not the be-all to end-all, but is just another and to add to the kete. So, you know, can we say then, with all due respect, nothing seems to be working as fast or as effectively as we would like?
Yes, and so this is why we are so committed to the Smoke-Free 2025 goal, because it's been a very slow progress, because we are dealing with intergenerations of addiction. And so it's bigger than just the stop smoking service. It's bigger. There's many, many addictions. There's many societal issues that we're whānau struggling to let go of this addiction. And the stop smoking services have worked really hard in the past 2 years, and especially for our service, Ready, Steady, Quit. We've realigned our focus on being more about empowering our wahine to realise their potential, realise that they can release cigarette, their addiction, but to do that, they need the supports and resources to do that. And so, you know, groups, social connections, incentives, help with our wahine hapu to give up the addiction, going into the community, working with whānau, not just individuals. We work with whānau now, which is, you know, it's a great concept, and we give them the time that they need to get across to become smoke-free, rather than the previous one, which was four to 6 weeks to quit. We also encourage our stop smoking service to get engaged with other providers, other social service providers, to provide the additional help that they need. And whatever it takes for whānau to become smoke-free, we have diverted to that solution. And you know, and maybe it's come now and we're making those changes, but and we recognize that this should have been done a long, long time ago. So we are making full effort across smoking services to do so.
And of course, there is the concern that our wahine, particularly our wahine, will be met with more issues and more stigma and more pressure and more judgment. Something else that they've got to do, you know, something else they've got to give up. You know, they're young and they're brown and they're poor and they're not very good mama, and now they're smoking and now they're going to get slapped with a fine which they can't pay, and then if they can't pay that, do they end up in remand, where, you know, the majority of our wahine are in remand because of unpaid traffic bills or, you know, just really, really ridiculously low level kind of stuff, and so are our tāne. You know, it's just yet another kind of thing that our wahine are going to have to grapple with. And of course, everyone knows that, but still we've got this legislation that can still penalise our wahine. Yeah. And tāne.
And, you know, and that's the thing, like, nowadays being a smoker is a stigma. You know, they do get looked at in a different world. And, you know, we have to acknowledge that we need to support our wahine as much as possible to face, you know, all the challenges. And we've seen some really great results where wahine have actually become smoke-free, stayed smoke-free, got employed, became socially connected, made some really amazing health and life decisions, and because they became empowered by through programs such as ours and others. So we have seen the potential of where our wahine will go to, but it's how we manage that for our wahine to feel appreciated and feel supported. And with the legislation saying, you know, within the time frame there is a fine of $50. You know, when in my previous role, we had to really consider that, actually, is this a good thing and a bad thing? It's a terrible thing that that these sorts of legislation acts have to be put in place. But through education that should have happened over the past 18 months, then wahine will be more empowered and more informed about what's the right thing to do. And when we are having those social stress or any stresses in that, it's that those behavioural changes that we hope that happened over the past 18 months before the fine is implemented, that they may actually make those decisions, actually I can just wait or take it out, you know, wait by the car and have a cigarette, or actually what are my other tips that I can use. And there are some great tips on the smoke-free page about how we can support them by being smoke-free while they're in the car.
But then, of course, you know, who's going to police this? It will be the police, won't it? And, of course, they do have the discretion as to whether or not to fine those our mama or papa or whomever is in the car with the tamariki. Is there a lead-in period, do you know, before they actually crack down? And then can they still use their discretion? And, you know, how do we know that we can trust that they'll use that discretion with us, considering that we're very, very sceptical around, you know, the relationship engagement I place with our whānau anyway, and given that, you know, we are being picked up for the most minor of driving offences anyway, and we are incarcerated, and, you know, the number of those particularly males that are on remand are for driving offences that could have been, you know, let off with those discretionary powers. You know, it's all of those kinds of things as well too. What's the minister saying about how safe it's going to be out there on the streets?
Yeah, well, when the legislation was being developed, that was our biggest concern, was the implementation, the police perspective of how to apply this law. And one of the biggest things that we advocated for was some, as usual, cultural conscious training, and that was one of the government promises in the House Select Committee, that process was going to be undertaken. We asked for them to actually have a look at a population approach, not just Māori, because actually it is all about our children of Aotearoa that live here, and so taking it across that, but being mindful that we need to educate our whānau that this law is coming into place. Now, in terms of the amount of education that has happened and it has that reached the ground, well, we don't have this, well, at ProCare, we don't have those statistics, but we are very aware that we have put out to our clients ourselves and like other stop smoking services saying that this is actually in place, please share out to other whānau this is going to happen. So it's really a grassroots approach of educating, and it's a grassroots approach of accountability. The police are of a lot of people's control. Individual police officers are a lot of people's control apart from within the police system. So we can only do our best, and we can continue to advocate for better approaches to dealing with whānau with such issues like smoking.
And of course, you know, do we really want police to go around police and busting, you know, one or two individuals, but you know, who are smoking in the car? You know, I mean, wouldn't their time be better suited busting all those people that are bringing in 30 kgs of cocaine, you know, rather than some mama up the road in Clendon, you know, having a fag? And not that I want to, you know, minimise that at all, but wouldn't their services be better utilised, you know, some of the bigger stuff?
100% agree with that. It's like when the mobile phones came in, wouldn't the police, you know, the banning of driving with your using your mobile phone while you're driving, when that came in, there was people saying, isn't there a better police time could be used elsewhere? We totally agree. We don't really support any punitive approaches like this legislation. We support education and prevention. So that's the thing that we can work at. And we would encourage the police to actually educate first, educate second, educate third, and then, you know, get to that point where at the end of the day, we have to look at our tamariki, and they're sitting in a car with smoke with their parents. So how many times do we get to say how far does education go when there needs to be accountability? And that's a question that we all have to ponder each time. You know, my whole kaupapa is to make sure that we have a healthy tamariki. And if that's smoke-free cars, vape-free cars, smoke-free homes, then that's what we will support.